much. Amen. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to try to finish this morning a series that I began several weeks ago, but through some interruptions, we've only got two parts of it preached, and today is part number 3. It's called The Identity of the Believer. Sons to Soldiers. The Identity of the Believer. Sons to Soldiers, part 3. So let's read in Ephesians chapter 6, but let's pray beforehand. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord. Indeed, we just want to capitalize on it. Father, we want all that you have for us today. Lord, I believe that it is for such a time as this, Lord, that you have called this group together, Father God, to feast on that you have for us this morning. But Father, we've got to have you. We've got to have your anointing in this place, Lord, to open us up, to fill us, Lord God, to take our minds from sometimes roaming far away, Lord, and bringing them and focusing on what you want us to hear. So let your anointing, Father God, minister to each one of our hearts in this place, Lord. The anointing of the Spirit of God, let it be on each of us, Lord, as we receive this word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Ephesians 6, verse number 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, folks, this whole series of messages, I'm going to kind of recap it because we've been away from it for so long. But this whole series of messages started because there is this thing that is just so ingrained in who I am. And I think it has to do with being in full-time ministry for about 29 years. But, folks, I've seen too many shipwrecks. I've seen too many human lives that have literally dashed on the rocks. And I'm tired of it. Too many have paid the price for not knowing fully what God has called us to be. What God has called us to be in Christ Jesus. In a few moments at the end of this message, we're going to receive communion. And we're going to celebrate the death of Christ, his broken body, his blood that is a new covenant for us. And I got to tell you something, folks. He didn't just do it so that you and I could talk about it. He didn't just go to the cross and allow them to crucify him in one of the most inhumane ways that a human life can be taken. He did it so that you and I can be victors in this life that we're living. And the fact of the matter is this: we are at war. There is a war that is going on. And folks, I got to tell you, it is a cataclysmic war. It's raging around us. If you and I were given just a moment of insight into the invisible realm, I think it would shock us all. We think it's all calm on the Western Front, but I got to tell you, it's not. The enemy is coming against us. He's coming against us as individuals. He's coming against us as families. He's coming against ministry. He's coming against this nation. We're at war. And so we've got to learn how to go from promise. You know, we're the sons of God, and that sounds so good, feels so good, is so good. But we're more than just sons of God. We are soldiers. We are warriors. And we got to pick up and begin to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? So we talked a few weeks ago about step number 1, and that's knowing who we are in Christ. Yes, sons of God, but more than that, we are soldiers. We are warriors for the kingdom of God. We got to know how to live that, though. How to every day be people who battle against the forces of darkness. We got to learn how to do spiritual warfare. I'm convinced with every fiber of my being that we are so underinformed, misinformed, And even if we do have the information, and even if we do know how to launch into spiritual warfare, sometimes we have a spirit of timidity that comes over us. And we just say, well, you know, really, I just don't know. Maybe if I'm just quiet, folks, I got to tell you, we got to begin to open our mouths and we got to begin to wage war. We got to be spiritual giants in the kingdom of God if we want to push back the forces of evil. And I have to tell you, everybody in this world, all how many ever billion of us there are, we are all engaged in a battle. Satan hates every one of us. And we got to learn to apply the basics of spiritual warfare. We have to learn how to fight and we have to learn how to win. Because there's a difference in fighting and winning. You can fight all your life long and still lose the battle. Amen? But folks, I got to tell you, I am bent on being a winner in Jesus Christ. We got to learn how to protect ourselves, protect our families from the attack of the evil one. Not only is everybody, not only does everybody need to learn how to fight, learn how to protect ourselves, but every one of us have to begin to be aggressive and get into the battle. The battle is universal. Everybody's involved in this, and there's no getting around it. And in the midst of that idea, we got to begin to understand that as everybody is in this universal battle, Satan uses three avenues to attack us. First, he attacks our minds. And man, I got to tell you, sometimes I believe that's a playground that Satan runs in a whole lot. Several sets of monkey bars in there that he just loves to play on. There's the physical arena. I know a little bit more about that today than I did a few weeks ago. He attacks us in physical ways. I want to tell you something. God didn't want me to have a rest. Satan wanted me to be down. Come on. He attacks us through relationship. Anybody ever have a relationship go wrong? Three people. Man, that's amazing. He attacks us in these areas. And I just have come to a place in my life where I'm just thinking, man, if Jesus died, if he went to the cross, and why he went to the cross, it wasn't for his own good, and it wasn't on account of things that it would accomplish for his own comfort and his own easy living. He went to the cross and he died for you and I. The Bible says that Abraham seen Christ afar off. He's seen the promises of God even hundreds of years down the road. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ seen your face and my face and your family's faces thousands of years ago prior to him going to the cross. And yet he went anyway. He's seen us. And he died for us. Not so that we could just wallow around and be stomped on by the enemy. So that we could be aggressors, so that we could take the enemy by the throat and poke him in the eyes in Jesus' name. So we got down to the basics a couple of weeks ago and we said, this is one of the things that you got to do if you're going to engage in spiritual warfare. You've got to be prepared, folks. You got to be prepared. Before you go out and fight, you gotta make sure you're covered. And so that's why Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through what we read, we gotta understand, we gotta have the full armor of God on us. And I gave this kind of mental picture, and you guys gotta hold on to this for a little while. But most Christians never get past the helmet of salvation. That's all we're wearing. Can I just tell you something? That's not enough. Even to go shopping at Piggly Wiggly, that's not enough. Okay? You want to go shopping, you got to get your whole armor on. You got to get dressed fully. Shod your feet. Give your loins what they have to have. The breastplate of righteousness. The shield. Get yourself a sword in your hand. Get prepared. Learn how to pray. Learn how to apply the Word of God. You know, Satan came to Jesus and said, if you're really the Son of God, make these stones into bread. And Jesus said, well, I really am the Son of God. How dare you question that? He didn't. All he did was use the Word of God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Bang! That's what we've got to do. We've got to learn the Word of God. We've got to be prepared. So whenever the enemy comes against our life, we can act just like Jesus did. By the way, that's a good example. And we can speak the Word of God to him. Second thing we talked about a couple of weeks ago was be submitted. And all of us love that word, don't we? Don't you just love the word submission? Come on now. How many of you all love to submit to one another? 3, 0 hands. But I want to tell you something. If your life is not submitted to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you've got a big problem whenever it comes to battling the enemy. Because unless your life is submitted to him, you will not walk in his authority. And I will tell you this, you will not win unless you have his authority. You have to submit your life to the authority of Jesus Christ. In fact, what you got to do is you got to begin to say, listen, you are Lord of my life. What you say goes. How you tell me to go is how I'm going to go. How you tell me to speak is how I'm going to speak. Come on now. You have to submit. And I got to tell you something. One of the biggest problems in America that I see today is that we are a country of independence. We're a country that revolves around self-reliance so often. And we are a country of pride. I am an American. Smarter than any nation on earth. I used to think that growing up. I thought if you were born in America, you were smarter than anybody. Come on. Until I found out different. Come on. And so what a lot of that does is it lends to this thing of you know, we just have such a hard time submitting because we think so much of ourselves. Folks, what we've got to understand is he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords and we have to submit our lives to him. Submission. And now we're going to get into today's message. That was just all follow up from last couple of weeks. Well, before I do, I just need to say one thing. I believe that one of the reasons why so many Christians today are just literally in such defeat in their own lives is because they've not really ever submitted to God. A lot of times we as Christians, we can say all the right words, can't we? Bless you, brother. God bless you. Why do I do this to myself? But you know, if you're not tithing, you're not submitted. I'm just going to be straight with you, man. One of the greatest places that you can look at a life and see whether or not it's submitted to God is in the area of tithing. If he does not have your wallet, he does not have your submission. It's quiet in here. That was free. It wasn't even in my notes. But it's true. I mean, we've got to understand this. If God says do it, we just do it. That's what being Lord of our life is all about. I had a very overbearing, domineering boss whenever I was growing up in high school. And man, he was meaner than a snake. And the reason I know he was meaner than a snake now is because he had a whole bunch of goofy teenagers working for him. Not one man, just a whole bunch of teenagers. And I never realized whenever I was a teenager how crazy teenagers are. And so he was on us every second of the day. He just, wah, 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 wah. There was only one way that we could do it, and that was his way. Wah, 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 wah. But I have to be honest with you. I was scared of him. I was, man. He'd come over there. Y'all fill in the blanks. I was scared of him. So I did what he told me to. He said, well, what are you talking about? I think America has lost a very healthy fear of God. He's God, man. He's God. And we got to submit to Him. Okay, let's start this. Next one. Not only be prepared, not only be submitted, but folks, there comes a time in spiritual warfare where you need to be aggressive. Aggressive. You see, I believe this. I believe that the power of God is given to those who claim new ground. Instead of just sitting back and just holding on to what we have. You see, I believe God empowers those who dare to move forward. Not those that just want to sit back and protect, you know. But people who say, wait a minute. You come against me, Satan? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get a little bit more of this county in Jesus' name. Come on. I'm going to go down south of the border, get a little bit more of that county down there too. I'm not just going to sit here and say, man, I just want to hold on to what we've got here at Trinity. Folks, I want to fill every one of these pews in the name of Jesus. I want people who have been blood bought, blood washed, sitting in these pews that have come from backgrounds that are so horrific that you and I can't even wrap our heads around them. I want to take some people away from Satan. Get aggressive. We fill this sanctuary up, we'll build another one somewhere else. We'll split off. I don't know, but God is saying to us, man, I will give you the power of who I am if you go out and begin to push against the darkness. You see, I think one of the most dangerous places in the kingdom of God that anybody can come to is where we reach that idea of just status quo. You know, we got it pretty good here. Let's don't trouble the waters, Pastor. Can I just tell y'all something? And I don't want y'all to go freaking out on me. And don't think I'm that freaky. But I got to tell you, I believe a lot of the things that I'm going through health-wise today is a direct result of this church reaching into this community and taking a slice of the pie away from Satan. I believe that. You say, well, Pastor, you're putting way too much on it. But I got to tell you, man, it's not just been in the area of my physical life, but Satan has just begun to try to touch everything. And I'm telling you something, I'm going to start pushing back in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to just go status quo. Well, you know, maybe, Pastor Rick, if we just not do, you know, a whole lot, let's don't schedule Heaven's Gates next year because I think that really ruffled his feathers. Let's just kind of go along. See, status quo is perhaps one of the dangerous places you and I can be. I don't want to be moving back. I don't want to be at status quo, so I'm going to start being more aggressive than ever in Jesus' name. See, I think one of the greatest secrets of spiritual victory that there is whenever the army of God begins to move against the gates of hell. Sometimes, you know, whenever Christians get together and write songs, I think they've lost their minds. You know, not every song that's in a Christian songbook is in agreement with Scripture. There's this one song that says, "Hold the fort, I'm coming." Some of you, that is my favorite song, Pastor. Don't do that. I don't want to hold the fort. Come on. I want to kick down the walls of hell and I want to take back what the enemy has stolen. You see, whenever we come to Jesus, we need to be marching soldiers. It says, man, I'm taking the cross of Calvary and I'm marching with it. I think one of the greatest words that you and I should have in our vocabulary and understand the meaning is the word charge. That has nothing to do with a credit card. Okay? Some of y'all going, yes, pastor's preaching on it. No, I'm not. I'm talking about getting up and getting out there into the darkness and taking the fight to the enemy. Whenever you and I are on the offensive, I believe that God literally sets up parameters around us to protect us. Come on now. Are you following what I'm saying? I mean, whenever you get out there and you start saying, man, I'm going to tell you, Satan, I'm going to poke you in the eye. I'm going to poke you all day long. I'm not going to give you any rest. I'm taking back what you've stolen. I am going to reclaim those people that are out there that are lost in bondages and sin. I'm going to get them back. I believe that's whenever you and I can rest knowing that God has got our back. His word is the offensive weapon that you and I need to use. So, folks, let me just ask you something. Is there anything out there that is more powerful than the word of God? Okay? Then that must be all we need. When you fight the battles for God, He fights for you. I love that. Whenever God's kingdom goals become our goals, folks, then that's whenever we begin to start taking families and cities and counties and even nations for the kingdom of God. I mean, for heaven's sake, think about this. God says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, just seek first the kingdom of God. And you know what that means? It just means going out and saying, hey, God, I'm yours today. I am in your hands and I want to do what you have called me to do today. I'm going to press against the darkness. I'm going to be what you have designed me to be, to one that is a soldier for your kingdom. That's seeking first the kingdom of God. The Bible says, all of these things shall be added unto you. Just automatics. I don't believe that these battles that need to be won in our nation. And there are battles that need to be won. Come on. There's some real messed up stuff out there today that's permeating our nation. It's becoming commonplace. But the battles that need to be won, folks, I don't believe there's any way that we're going to win them in the flesh. I don't believe we're going to win them through the courts. I don't believe we're going to win them through laws. I believe, for the most part, it's going to be won on our knees. We're going to win this nation with spiritual weapons. In 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 4, it says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. Come on. The weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Are you listening to this? They have divine power to demolish strongholds. They can demolish strongholds of lust. They can demolish strongholds of greed. They can demolish strongholds of addiction. Are you with me? The weapons that we fight with, they're not of this world, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Woo! That's a good scripture right there, Pastor. That's a good one. Glad you read that this morning. Man, I'm glad I read it too. Ooh, that's a good one. That'll get me charged up. I mean, for heaven's sake, we have the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the power of prayer, the word of God. We've got those weapons. See, whenever you know the weapons that you have and you begin to use them, and those weapons begin to prove their effectiveness. Are you with me? You know, you got a stronghold in your life and you begin to realize it. You say, listen, man, I've got a tongue that's out of control and I just cannot be saying the things that I say sometimes and be Christian. I've got to get this mouth under control. Come on. Every once in a while, there's people who have problems with their mouth. Okay? And so you start saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming to you and I'm looking to your ability to control what it is that comes out of my mouth. To control this thought process. And you begin to go through the word and you begin to apply the word and say, God, I speak your word over my mouth. It's coming into submission to your will and your ways. That what comes out of my mouth is going to be sweeter than honey. Ha ha! Come on. And then all of a sudden, you know, a week or two goes by and you realize that your mouth has changed. And it wasn't because of a new toothpaste. You know, one of the greatest realities that struck me right after I got born again was that God cleaned up the inside of me, yes, by forgiving all my sins, but He did not take away the ability for me to cuss. Come on. I'm just trying to live where y'all live, where all of us live every day. I can remember, man, I was so happy I was born again, and I just thought I was almost perfect. God had just made me perfect. Until I lost my temper, and I mean, I had about 14 cuss words stretched together, and I go, what in the world was that? I thought I was born again. But I started praying. I started believing. I started taking this word at what God said this word was able to do. You see, whenever you know the weapons and you begin to use them and they work, folks, this is what you begin to do. You begin to say, listen, man, victory is definite whenever it comes to the weapons that God has placed in my hands. Next thing we got to do is we got to learn how to stand and resist the devil. Whenever you claim God's promise and you begin to engage the enemy, one of the things that I promise you is going to happen, man. And if it doesn't, please come to me and let me know what is happening in your life. You claim that promise, you engage the enemy, you will meet resistance. See, any time that you decide to reach a little bit higher than where you are, you make this effort to claim the promises of God. If you're just tired of living in poverty, just going from payday to payday and not having enough money for your bills and just struggling all the time, folks, and you say, wait a minute, God says that He is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides for me. He told me that He would give into my bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and I'm going to claim those promises. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. Are you with me? You want to reach a little bit higher. You say, wait a minute. I don't want to live just week to week from payday to payday. I want to be a place where I can bless others in the kingdom of God because God has blessed me. You claim those promises, you are going to be challenged by the enemy. Yes, you are. Challenged by the enemy. The enemy's not going to let you go easy. He's going to challenge your faith. He's going to challenge your commitment. The greatest commitments that you can make is saying, God, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to take 10% of what you bless my household with, and I'm going to tithe. I'm just going to put it in the offering every Sunday. I'm just going to tithe. Let me tell you what's fixing to happen. Y'all ready? You're going to have one financial nightmare after another financial nightmare. Satan's going to lay his hands on everything that is expensive. It's going to happen. And the next paycheck that comes along, you're going to look at that paycheck and you go, whoa, I can't afford to tithe this week. Are y'all with me? I'm telling you, this is the way that happens. I cannot afford to tithe this week, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and pay these extra bills that I got coming. He's going to attack your faith. He's going to attack your commitment. The Bible says in Malachi, He will open up the windows of heaven and bless you with a blessing that you cannot contain if you tithe. So you're standing on that promise, and all of a sudden you say, I'm going to pay my bills. I'm not going to tithe this week. Let me just tell you something. Tithe this week. And then say, God, I believe you for the rest of this finance. I believe you for it. And I will promise you this. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm not speaking from something that I read in a book. I'm speaking from experience. Satan will challenge you every step of the way.
for those of you in this room that haven't been in the kingdom all that long, one of the greatest attacks that Satan is going to launch is to those people who have made that brand new commitment to follow Jesus Christ. It's going to be like all hell is trying to keep you from walking that walk. In fact, it's even simpler than that. He's going to challenge new converts in such a way that he's just going to try to keep you from coming to church. Come on. Flat tire on the way. The car won't start. The washing machine broke. The cat ate your Rice Krispies. I don't know. He's just going to challenge you. And it's just going to be like, man, you know something? If your car breaks down and you are filthy, nasty, greasy, but you got it running, and there's only 20 minutes left of the service, I would much rather you come here to make a statement to the enemy than to just say, well, let's just go on home now. Because, you know, well, we could just almost beat those Baptist folks to the restaurant. Let's just do that. Come on. I mean, just come in here and sit down. Your hands all greasy. I don't care. Just come in and say, listen, Satan, you're not going to stop me. I was delayed a little bit today, but you ain't going to stop me. I'm coming to the house of God. That's what you call standing and resisting the devil. Man, whenever our kids were little, they were the ones that caused us cataclysmic problems. On the way to church, and puke all over everything. We'd go back, change them, get them all washed up. We're taking them back. You know, and the great thing was we usually left early, so we're still just about on time. And bleh, they do it again. The puking machines is what they were. I mean, stand up. Resist the devil. Stand fast. See, one of two things is going to happen whenever you begin to do it. Either you're going to, whenever these battles begin to come your way, whenever the enemy really begins to throw resistance in your path, one of two things. Either you're going to give in and the battle's going to subside. It's going to, you know, going to church really isn't that important. You know, good grief. It's a beautiful day today too. I mean, let's go outside and frolic. That's one way to make the battle subside. But another way to make the battle subside is this. Take a stand. Take a stand. And show him that you will not be defeated. Show him that your will is stronger than he thought it was. Come on. I'm going to tell you something. He'll get tired. He doesn't hardly ever bother me on the way to church anymore. We have no puking kids. I'm serious. We come to church almost every Sunday, and there's nothing that really impedes our travel because you know what? We learned early on, it says, I don't care how many times that little booger pukes, we're getting to church. In Jesus' name, stop your puking. See, that's what... It's either going to subside because you surrender and you give in. You say, man, I'm not going to pursue the promises of God anymore. Or you're going to hold consistent. You're going to hold steadfast. You're going to stand your ground. And that's whenever the battle's won. Until you stand your ground, though, and you say, no, I will not give in to this. I'm going to stand and I'm going to see the salvation of the Lord. The enemy will do it over and over and over in your life. Next thing is, we got to stand, we got to resist the devil. But the next thing, just this is kind of one of those odd ones that just, you would think that it doesn't even fit in this whole series, but the next thing is, we have to learn how to tap into the power of praise. We got to learn how to rejoice. Praise is very uplifting. Y'all know that? Let me ask y'all something. I mean, just between me and you, we won't share this outside this room, but have any of y'all ever been like in a... even worse than a bad mood, where bad mood is not the right description. Seen this video not very long ago. There's two kids sitting at the table. A little girl got her head down. She's just crying and carrying on. And her little brother just couldn't have been maybe a couple of years older than her. Looks at her and says, "Have you had your nap today?" And she said, "No." And he says, "You need to go take a nap." You know, because she was just cranky. She was just crying about everything. You see, sometimes we get in those moments in our life whenever things come against us. And I have to tell you, there is this amazing uplifting power that God has put in the midst of praise. It is hard to be cranky whenever you're praising the Lord. Come on. It's hard to be down whenever you're praising the Lord. You and I got to learn to tap into the power of praise. I believe that God sets captives free in the midst of praise. One time in my own personal walk, I was just, man, I needed a prayer answered by God. And I'd been praying, I'd been believing, I'd been doing everything I knew how to do. I'd just been begging, pleading with God. "Oh, God, you got to do this." And I'm telling you, this wasn't one of them little ones. This is one of those big ones. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this was one of them things that was outside of human control. It was going to be a miracle from God or it was going to be a mess. Are you with me? And I remember one day I was at the front of the church up at the altar, man. I said, "God, oh God." And I was crying, I was wailing, I was weeping, I was just doing everything trying to get his attention because I've been praying for weeks and weeks on this. And I figured the louder you cry, the easier it is for him to hear you. "Yo, it wasn't quite that bad, but I want to tell you it was pretty close because I was desperate and the Spirit of God just arrested me. And he says, "Let me tell you something. More things will come to you through praise than any other method. You have asked me for it. Now praise me because I'm going to give it to you." And I just said, "Oh, okay." And I just sat back and I just began to praise him. I began to honor him and love on him. And I want to tell you, the spirit of heaviness that was all over me, it just left. And it was like 24 hours later that prayer was answered. And I'm telling you, it was a miracle from God. I believe there was a direct relationship between my praise that morning and God's answer to my prayer. For heaven's sakes, the Bible says he inhabits the whining of his people. Oh, no, I misread that. No, the Bible says that he inhabits the bickering of his people. Wailing. I've got several here, but I don't think any of them works. The Bible says that he inhabits the praise of his people. Man, whenever it's all going wrong and it's a mess... Catch this one. Even whenever you don't feel like it. "You want me to praise the Lord?" "I don't feel like praising the Lord. I just want to sit over here in this corner and just... I just want to cry. I don't feel like praising him right now because I don't think he likes me all that much." Even when you don't feel like it. See, I love the story of Paul and Silas in Acts, man. They got the tar beat out of them for doing something good. Thrown into prison. Man, their backs and things were just bloody. Their faces were probably bloody where they'd been smacked around. And the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul was whining. Oh, no. Oh, no. This is what they were singing. It says that they were singing, "Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows." No, man, they said that at midnight there was a praise service broke out in the prison. Paul and Silas start singing hymns and praises unto the Lord. And I got to tell you something. They probably didn't feel like it. But they knew there was power in praise. And you and I got to learn how to tap into that power. You see, whenever you declare with your mouth the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe there is something that happens. It's like a weapon to the heart of Satan. And I believe whenever he hears us praising, you know, not just singing. Are y'all with it? Because we can sing. I can sing along with the worship team any day. But there's a difference between singing and praising. Come on. It's like a weapon. He hears us praising God. It's just like a weapon right to his heart. He just hates that. And I'll tell you this. If you want to run him out of this sanctuary on Sunday mornings, you know, because he's here. He comes to check out who's come to church and who hasn't. Oh, so you made it and your kid puked 3 times and you're still here. A flat tire and you're still here. Your dog chewed up all of your underwear and you're still here. See, if you want to keep him out of here, fill this place with praise. Because he cannot stay. Come on. You think and you have to understand, I'm not talking about, you know, tapping into the power of praise just here at this church. You need to have a whole array of things in your car, at your home. You need to have a Walkman. You need to have some implant in your head if it's that bad for you. Where you can just in a moment just begin to praise the Lord. He can't stand praising the Lord. The evil in him, it just binds all of it. He can't stand it. Psalm 149, it says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him and tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouth and the double-edged sword in their hand. Praise the Lord. Now, folks, this morning, I've come to the end of this series of messages. In a moment, I'm going to call for the deacons and Pastor Rick to come and serve you communion because I really believe that it is so fitting that we close out this whole series by receiving communion. Folks, here at the end, these last few moments, I believe that the Holy Spirit is challenging all of us, whether it's these young people here on the front row or us that have a little bit more gray hair. He's challenging us, and I believe we have a choice to make. We can either be a captive, and you see, that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to be a captive. He does not want our finances to work. He doesn't want our health right. He doesn't want our relationships right. Are you following me? He wants our minds to be full of all kinds of garbage. He wants us to be bound by every kind of addiction that there is out there. Come on. He wants us to be half-baked, lukewarm Christians. So we have a choice. We can either be a captive or you and I can decide, listen, I'm tired of being a captive. I'm tired of leading a status quo Christian life. And I'm ready to step out and be a warrior for the King of Kings. What belongs to me, I'm going to take it in Jesus' name. The promises that are in this book that says they are yes and amen to those who believe, I'm ready to go after them and take them back in Jesus' name. What Satan has stolen from me, what he's stolen from my family, what he's taken from this ministry, the way that he has abused this community that we live in, I am coming against him in Jesus' name. Or like I said, we got a choice. I can live a little bit longer with my finances all in a mess. I can live a little bit longer in bad health. It's okay. I'm just believing for the medical community to find that magic pill. And you know, it's not that bad. Folks, we have a choice, a warrior or a captive. If you're a captive, you're always in conflict. You haven't probably given up on God because, see, this is not about salvation. But you feel like literally that you're in chains, held captive. Your spirit is oftentimes darkened. You no longer have that joy, you know, true Christian joy. You know, I was talking with my mom yesterday, and you know, this is a really sad commentary, but I lived with my dad for 18 years, moved out when I was 18, but I've known him for 53, and I've never, ever seen my father happy. I'm serious. Now, he's lost. He's not born again. But I've never seen him happy. I've seen him laugh a few times, but as far as his life goes, he's never been happy. Your spirit becomes darkened. You don't have that joy. You don't have that faith that you need. There is a real heaviness that's over your life. You come to a place where it's very easy to give in to temptation. Are you there? Constantly under bondage, constantly one mess or the other. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, and this is Jesus actually quoting a scripture all the way back in Isaiah. He's at his hometown church, and he stood up and he unrolled the scroll, and he says this about himself. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." That's what Jesus does. So you see, those things that I just read, you know, about being darkened and in chains and in bondage and one mess to another, you see, that's what Jesus has come to do. He's come to liberate us. These promises are true in this word. In John 8:36, it says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." But so often, we're wounded. We're afraid of the spiritual conflict because we've been hurt so often. And here's a pastor, I'm preaching this message about us getting up and fighting, and you're saying, "Man, I got up and fought one time, but I got so wounded." You know, you got so wounded, it's kind of like having a bad sunburn on your back, and you know, one of the ushers coming up to you and whacking you on the back. "How you doing?" "Oh, I was pretty good before that happened." That's what it's like to be damaged, to be hurt, walking around with that sensitivity in your life. Sometimes in that situation, we're so easily offended. Sometimes we run too quickly. Sometimes whenever we're wounded, we cry too much. We're negative too often. Jesus has come to bind up the wounds, to heal the hurting. Jesus does not want you to be a casualty. He doesn't want you to be on the victim's list from the latest shipwreck in Christianity. He wants you to go from sons to soldiers. The Lord wants you to be a warrior.